Morning.
Morning.
Hope everyone is doing well today. Today we are finishing our series in the armor of God that we've been studying since the first of the year. And this series has been in the passage in Ephesians chapter 6. So if you have a Bible with you, you could please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. That's where we're going to be studying again today, Ephesians chapter 6. The focus of this study has been to look deeper at a passage of scripture that uses the armor of a Roman soldier as a metaphor to describe all the benefits and the resources that God has given to every single Christian through the gospel. Because when we look at the image of armor, we begin to learn that like a soldier, we too are in a battle. And the Bible tells us that this battle that we're in is a spiritual one, not a physical one, in which there are forces, spiritual forces, that stand against us, that see us as targets to destroy. But in this spiritual battle, God has not left us alone, because he told us that he fights with us, he fights for us, and he's also provided us with spiritual armor to protect us. So in this series, at the end of this series, we've been looking at all the details about this spiritual armor that God has given us. And by examining this metaphor, we begin to look at every single different piece of the armor as resources that God has already given to us. So each week we've been examining these different elements of the armor so that we can see what God has said that is available to us against these spiritual attacks. So in this sixth and final week, will you stand with me for the reading of Scripture? Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication." That is our passage for today. You may be seated. The element of armor that we're going to be looking at today is the sword of the Spirit. And for the last time in the series, I brought along the toy sword that was in the costume of the armor of God. If you haven't been here with us, when I was a kid, the end of vacation Bible school, one of the grand prizes for some lucky individual was an entire armor of God costume, the whole set. Unfortunately, I was not that lucky kid. I was devastated. But 30 years later, I found it on Amazon, and now all is made right with my childhood. But people have asked me through the series, have you tried it on? And I was like, yeah, I've tried it on. Here's proof. But unlike actual armor, this children's costume that says actual armor was a big deal, for a Roman soldier, the armor of a soldier could be the difference between life and death. And the importance of the armor is the very reason why the Apostle Paul uses it to describe the spiritual protection that God says is available to us. Now, when it comes to the sword, in my research, I found that most of the ancient armies favored a type of sword that was a single-edged sword. It had been the type of sword that was used in warfare for a very long time, but the success of the Roman army was largely because of some innovations that they had made, and one of those innovations came to their swords. Rather than a long, single-edged sword that you needed two hands to use, the Romans developed a smaller sword called the gladius. The Roman gladius has become known as the sword that conquered the world. It was about 24 inches long. It was sharpened on both edges instead of just one. And it was tapered to a point at the end. And this point was so sharp that at the right angle, it could even pierce through some armor. Because of its design, in close range combat, the gladius was a fearsome tool in the hands of a skilled Roman warrior. And this unique and effective sword is the very sword that Paul uses in his spiritual metaphor. And we all know that the purpose of a metaphor is to take something that you know about and compare it to something else so that you can know about this other thing in a new way. And when it comes to the Roman sword, I want us to know about three things. offense, close combat, and skill. I think these three terms summarize the main features of the Roman gladius sword that we're supposed to see. Offense, rather than simply defending and protecting us like all the other pieces of armor that we've talked about, the sword can not only defend, but it can also be an offensive weapon. Instead of merely reacting to the attacks of an enemy, the sword allows the soldier to take the fight to the enemy. That's offense. Close combat. The shorter length of the gladius meant that the sword was most effective when it was in close combat. Earlier in the series, we talked about the shield and how the shield can protect you from the darts that the enemy would throw from a distance, but the sword is used in the heat of the battle, in the hand-to-hand combat, when the enemy is right there in your face. That's close combat. And then there's skill. Because of the double-edged design of the sword, if the sword was used carelessly or improperly, instead of hurting the enemy, a soldier could hurt themselves. So there was a level of skill and practice and familiarity that was required for a soldier to effectively use their sword. So these are the three features of the sword that I think Paul wants us to know about when he uses this metaphor. Now, when we look here at what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6, we see that the sword is described differently than all of the other pieces of armor that we've talked about. Previously, we've talked about the shield of faith. We've talked about the helmet of salvation. And in those phrases, the "of" shows us how the armor is like the resources that God has given to us. It says, faith is like a shield. Salvation is like a helmet. But with the sword, the word "of" is used differently. It says, the sword of the Spirit. But here, we're not supposed to follow the same pattern before, because if we followed the same pattern before, we would conclude that the Spirit is like a sword. But that's not what Paul wants us to conclude, because he comes right out and tells us to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the thing being compared to the sword is the Word of God. The Word of God is like a sword. You see that? So the question that we need to ask ourselves is, how is the Word of God like a sword? I should point out that whenever we see the phrase, Word of God, we automatically conclude, oh, he's talking about the Bible. Which is true, the Word of God is referring to the Bible. But whenever we see this phrase, the Word of God, it's referring to more than just the Bible. Because when people like you and me say the Bible, what we're referring to is this book. When we talk about the Bible, we're talking about all the words on all the pages that are contained in this fancy leather-bound book that we call the Bible. And for us today, you could get a Bible like this with all kinds of different features. You could find them with different color of leather to match your outfits and things. You could get large print Bibles. You could get small print Bibles. You could download Bibles onto your phone and onto your tablet. You could get stuff, you can get a Bible that fits in your bag. You can get one that fits in your pocket. You can even get one of the big old preacher Bibles that you have to like buy an extra ticket for on the plane. You can get that one as well. But every one of these Bibles that we talk about contains the same words on the page. And having a copy of these words is different than the sword of the Spirit. Having access to these words is not always having the sword of the Spirit. Even having knowledge of these words is different than having the sword of the Spirit. It is possible to have a Bible, to read a Bible, to know the Bible, and not have the sword of the Spirit. I heard a story of a man who was in prison. When he got to prison, he was given a Bible. And every single day, everybody saw him reading that Bible. He always had his head in the Bible, turning pages every single day. When the man left prison, he left his Bible behind. Which was odd because it seemed to be so dear to him. But when the guards opened up the Bible, in the margins, they found a series of numbers and dates on every single page. It turns out that for years, in order to pass the time, the prisoner had been counting every single letter on every single word on every single page. And in the margins, he would write what he found and where he left off. He noted how many words, how many letters were on every page. He found out how many letters were in the entire Bible. He even determined which letter was the exact center of the Bible. You see, this man read every word of the Bible, but the words on the page never impacted any part of his life. Now, I know that's an extreme example, but the point is, when Paul tells us that the Word of God is like a sword, he's not just talking about words on the page. Instead, what he's talking about is the words on the pages of the Bible. He says they become a sword because of God's Spirit. Notice how it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of the God. So we've already established that the sword is the Word of God. But what this verse is implying is that this weapon, the sword, is not effective in our lives without the Spirit. When it says the sword of the Spirit, we are being told that God has given us a sword, but this sword, it comes from and is powered by the Holy Spirit. Like, if I gave you my phone right now, you could have my phone. It's a powerful phone. It's an impressive phone because it's made by Apple. But you would not be able to tap into the power of my sword without me. Of my sword, my phone. Because I have facial recognition turned on my phone. So in order for you to access the power of my phone for your benefit, you need my face. In the same way, you've been given a sword, the Word of God. But in order for the power of that sword to be realized in your life, you need the Spirit. Do you see that? Let me show you this in Scripture. In 1 Thessalonians, we read, the gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You see the distinction between the words on the page and those words accompanied by the Holy Spirit? It says, you received the words, but when the Holy Spirit got involved, those words were given power. And that power started to produce things in people's lives like conviction. You see that? You see how the words on the page in the hands of the Spirit of God have the power to produce things in people's lives. This is what the Bible means when it says the Word of God. So when we see the phrase the Word of God and it's compared to a sword, let me define it like this. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is this. The words of God used by the Spirit of God to unleash the power of God in the lives of the people of God. And in Ephesians chapter 6, we're told that we have been given a sword, which is the Word of God, and God's Spirit is going to give that sword power, which will be unleashed in your life and in my life. So what does it look like when the power of the Word of God is unleashed like a sword? The book of Hebrews, we read this verse. It says, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Here's another verse where the Word of God is compared to a sword, a double-edged sword, no less. And in this verse, the Word of God is described as being living and active. What does that mean? Have you ever gone to church and heard a sermon or something, and you felt like you were the only person in the room that day? Like the preacher was talking specifically and directly to you because of something that was going on in your life, and you were like, did somebody tell him? Have you ever had that feeling? I have people come up to me all the time after church and say, you were really speaking to me today, little pastor. It wasn't me. I have no idea about the specific details that are going on in your life. And many times, nobody besides you knows the specific details that are going on in you and in your life. But God does. When it says that the Word of God is living and active, it means that God knows exactly what is going on in your life right now. And sometimes he will take his words, however you hear them, however you read them, and he will use his Holy Spirit to apply them directly to what is going on in your life in that moment. That's why some Sundays it feels like God is talking directly to you, because he is. He's using the words of God by the Spirit of God to unleash the power of God in your life. That's also why you can hear the same passage of Scripture your whole life. You can hear it for 99 times, and then one day on the 100th time, because of what's going on in your life and because of what you need to hear in that moment, that same familiar Scripture can hit you completely differently, like it's alive. That is some of the power that the Word of God can have in our lives because of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the words that I told you to remember when we were talking about the sword was offense. When it comes to the sword, we find that the sword is the only piece that is mentioned in the armor of God that is used offensively. If you went into battle and you had all your armor on, you might be able to survive. But if you add a sword to that armor, not only will you have the ability to survive, but you also will have the ability to advance. To not only fight off the attacks, but with the sword, you can now bring the fight to the enemy. Now, because of this image, if you're anything like me and I read this and hear this, I automatically think of myself with this new sword I've been given, chasing down and fighting the devil himself. But Ephesians tells us that the role of the armor of God is not simply to go after the devil, but to go after the works of the devil. And after last week, when we're talking about the helmet of salvation and all the stuff that can happen in our mind and in our thoughts, we may find that some of the works of the devil that we need to attack with our swords are actually in us. That living and active verse that we read before. Here is what the rest of the verse says. It says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and of discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Remember last week, we talked about the word stronghold. A stronghold is the occupying position that an enemy holds. And when we learn that we have an offensive weapon like a sword to bring the fight to the enemy, we may find that some of the strongholds that we need to attack, some of the areas that we need to bring the fight to the devil, we may find that those battlegrounds are already inside of us. Notice how the verse says that the word of God is able to discern the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Last week we were challenged to take every thought captive to obey Christ. Because there may be some strongholds that are inside of us, in our hearts and in our minds. And it seems that the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is the weapon that we use to not only protect our mind, but to take back some of the ground, some of the strongholds that we may have lost to the enemy. This is how we fight back with the enemy. Now, if you look at this image of cutting through joints and marrow, this image reminds me of surgery. And when it comes to the kind of power that it says the sword of the Spirit can yield in our lives, it seems that sometimes the word of God can be like a scalpel in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will skillfully cut away anything that he finds within us that can be hurting us or holding us back. You see that? Sometimes the power of the sword of the Spirit is directed inwardly against the attacks that have been going on within us. That's one way that we unleash the words of God by the Spirit of God to see the power of God in our lives. Let me show you another example of the kind of power that the Holy Spirit can unleash in our lives through the Word of God like a sword. The second word that we talked about with the Roman sword was close combat. When you're fighting with a 24-inch sword, it means that the enemy is right up in your face. Imagine two soldiers fighting in hand-to-hand combat. We see this sort of thing in the movies all the time. Like where there's a fight scene that's happening in an elevator or something. When fighting happens in close proximity, the soldier, he needs to be able to access his weapon quickly. Especially if the attack happens suddenly or catches the soldier off guard. He needs to be able to quickly get his sword, wield his sword, and use his sword in a split second. Like a reflex, like it's second nature to him. In the same way, there are going to be times in our lives where a spiritual attack comes upon us and catches us off guard. And those attacks, they might come in the form of temptation or accusation or a lie that we might believe. And in the moment when those attacks come, we need to be able to quickly fight back. Let me show you an example of this in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is about to begin his public ministry. But before he does, we read this. It says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Notice the devil and temptation. This is one of the tactics that the devil uses to attack us. It's also one of the tactics that he tried to use against Jesus. He tried to tempt him. Verse 2 says, "After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.'" If you want to get a glimpse of how grimy the devil likes to fight, then look at this. Jesus has been fasting for 40 days now, so he's hungry. And the devil knows how people get when we're hungry, right? We get hangry. And when we're hangry, we do things that we wouldn't normally do. So you see what the devil's doing here? He's trying to exploit Jesus in his time of need. It's exactly what he's going to do to you and me. When we are in a vulnerable state, he's going to try to use our needs against us. And the needs that he might use against you, it may not be hunger. It may be something deeper than that. The needs that he might use against you is that he'll wait till you're in a weakened state, and then he'll find your need that causes you to consider maybe giving in, or taking a shortcut, or giving up, or settling for something lesser. But here, in Jesus' weakened state, the devil attacks him. The devil says, if you're really the Son of God, then command these stones to turn into bread. On the surface, this temptation might not feel that intense to us, but it was to Jesus. But instead of focusing on the temptation, look at what Jesus did in his response. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Remember, Jesus is still hungry. This temptation that the devil is dangling in front of him, it is still enticing. But in this very moment of weakness, Jesus recalls these words. And these aren't just any words. These aren't magic words. These are God's words. Jesus is quoting the scriptures, a passage from the book of Deuteronomy. And what is important for us to see is that in the moment of temptation, when the devil is right up in his face in this hand-to-hand spiritual combat, in that moment, Jesus was able to remember the words of God and use them to fight back with the devil, like a soldier who would quickly draw his sword in close combat. Do you see that? That is how the word of God's like a sword. It's able to bring the fight to the enemy in close combat. And this wasn't a fluke. This was a pattern. If you read the whole encounter between Jesus and the devil, you will see that Jesus did this multiple times. He responded to the attacks of the devil with the words of God. In verse 8, the devil tempts Jesus again and says, it took him to a very high mountain. It showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to Jesus, all of these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Now notice this temptation. It's not about hunger. This time, the devil is tempting Jesus with a shortcut. And Jesus knows that it's already been said that one day every knee will bow to Jesus. He knows that one day all of these kingdoms will be his anyway. But the devil is offering him all of that right now, like a shortcut. Have you ever had a shortcut in your life? Where you've been offered everything that you wanted right now without having to wait or without having to work for it? Well, here Jesus responds to the temptation of a shortcut with the words of God. It says, Jesus said, and be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. This time Jesus is quoting directly from Deuteronomy 6:13. And here at the end of the encounter, this is the end, what we see what happens after these repeated attacks that the devil brought to Jesus and Jesus' repeated counterattacks with the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, it says that the devil left him. So if you put it all together, if you remember the very beginning of this encounter, it says that Jesus went into the wilderness and the Spirit led him there. So the Spirit is involved. And if you put it together with our definition of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, it is that the words of God used by the Spirit of God unleash the power of God to the people of God. So when you put all that together here in Matthew 4, Jesus has just shown us the blueprint for how the sword of the Spirit can be used against the attacks of the devil. Did you see it? Jesus used the words of the God, and the Spirit of God unleashed power in his life to resist and fight back against the attacks of the devil. That is another way that the sword of the Spirit works in our lives. Now, one other thing that I think we should notice from this encounter between Jesus and the devil is that Jesus was able to recall these words of God, the scripture. He was able to do it instantly and appropriately. If you looked in there, when the devil tempted Jesus and enticed him and brought a spiritual attack against him, it doesn't say, and then he pulled out his phone and Googled the right words. It doesn't say that he asked somebody. It says he was immediately able to recite the words of God. And not just any words of God. Did you notice that he was able to recite and recall the very words of God that directly applied to everything that the devil was throwing at him? Take a look at this second temptation in the middle. Says that the devil took him to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. You see what he's doing here? After the first one, and Jesus fought him back with the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, the devil's like, oh, all right, two can play at this game. So he tempts him again, and this time, not only does he tempt him, but he uses scripture to do it. And if you look up these words that the devil uses, these are not misquoted scripture verses. Apparently, the devil knows the words of God as well. And he quotes these scriptures back to Jesus exactly correct. So these scriptures that he uses, they're not misquoted, but they are misapplied. When the devil quotes these scriptures to Jesus, Jesus responds again by saying this, "It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." So here Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy 6:16, but the thing that I want you to see is this. Not only was Jesus able to recall the words of God in the moment that he needed them, but Jesus was also able to understand their meaning right away. As soon as the devil starts quoting scripture at Jesus, Jesus was able to right away understand those scriptures and know that he was quoting those improperly. And not only that, did he know he was using them wrong, he was able to, on the other side, recall the right verse that can cut right to the truth of the matter like a sword. You see how Jesus was able to use the words of God instantly and appropriately? What I think this shows us is that Jesus had a level of skill when it came to the word of God. The word skill is another one of those words that I told you to remember when we're talking about the sword. Long before a Roman soldier ever went into battle, he spent hours and hours and hours practicing with his sword. Because a soldier needed to become familiar with their sword, they needed to know how to use it instantly and appropriately, and doing that required a level of skill. They needed to develop a skill, because it's one thing to have a sword, it's another thing to know how to use it. If you look closely, I have a scar above my right eye that is in the exact shape of the scope of a rifle. I have friends who hunt. I am not a hunter. But one time they were all going to practice with their rifles before they went hunting, and they invited me along. Why? I do not know. But while they were shooting their guns, one of my friends asked, "Hey, do you want to take a shot?" And I was like, "All right. Anything special that I need to know?" And they were like, "No, just look through the scope, line up your target, and squeeze the trigger." So I thought, all right, it's pretty simple. So I did exactly what they said. And apparently, they could have included a few more instructions. Like, don't get too close to the scope, because when the gun fires, the kickback will smash you in the face, will require 5 stitches, and give you a scar above your eye for the rest of your life. It's one thing to have a weapon. It's another thing to know how to use it. And from the example of Jesus, the sword of the Spirit can be a very effective weapon in fighting the spiritual attacks of the devil. But we have to know how to use it. We need to have a level of skill with it. We need to develop a familiarity with the words of God. We need to do our best in understanding it. We need to regularly be exposed to it, like a soldier practicing with his sword. You ever heard of a sword drill? If you grew up in the church, when I was a kid in Sunday school, that we would have sword drills in class. What it meant was, because of Ephesians chapter 6, where the word of God is called the sword, the teacher would say, "Everybody grab your swords." And all the kids would pick up their Bible. And the teacher would shout out a random passage of scripture, like John 3:16. And what everybody did is they would flip through their Bibles, and the first kid to find John 3:16 and stand up and read it would win. You ever do this when you were a kid? The point of a sword drill was to get kids familiar with their sword or the Bible. So, I want everybody to grab their Bible. We're going to have a sword drill. Just kidding, we're not going to do that. Actually, what I want you to do is I want you to grab your bulletin packet, because in your bulletin packet, there should be a bookmark-looking thing like this. On this bookmark, there's a list of scripture references and dates. Starting tomorrow, March 11th, we're going to begin a church-wide Bible reading plan. If you're interested, we as a church, we're going to do this together for the next several weeks. On the bookmarks, you are given a passage of scripture to read every day. On Sundays, we're going to try to incorporate these into our corporate scripture readings. But this reading plan is going to take us all the way to Good Friday. So starting tomorrow, if you want to join us, you could grab one of these bookmarks. Or if you've downloaded our app on your phone, Peters Creek app, if you've downloaded that from the App Store, on the Events tab, on the calendar, every single day we have the scripture written out there for you. So if you want to go ahead and download that app, if you have no idea what I just said, then don't do it. It's probably not for you. Leave those apps for somebody else. But the point of us doing this together is to practically and tangibly apply what we've learned about the sword of the Spirit. Throughout this Armor of God series, we have learned that God has given us all kinds of resources, but like armor, we have to put it on. We have to actually apply them to our lives. And when it comes to the sword of the Spirit, we have to commit ourselves to the Word of God. To strive to understand it, to become familiar with it, so that the Spirit of God can use it in our lives to unleash the power that can protect us and bring the fight to the enemy when we need it. So I hope this morning that you've seen that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is the words of God, used by the Spirit of God to unleash the power of God in the lives of the people of God. And let me also tell you, in case you're worried, it's not all on you. The Bible tells us that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit says that this Holy Spirit is the one who inspired these words. He's also the one who's living inside of us when we put our faith in Jesus. And one of the things that he does is help to have us remember and understand these words. So that in your moments of need, the Holy Spirit can go back into the arsenal and pull out for you the words that you need in that moment. But what we're doing is we need to fill up ourselves and our minds with the words of God, so that in those moments, the Holy Spirit can take those words that are so familiar to us and apply them in situations where we need them the most. Did you see that this morning? I hope over the six-week series that we've been looking at the armor of God that you've been able to be convinced from God's words that there is a real enemy who is trying to attack us and take us out spiritually. But God has promised us that he's not left us alone. But he fights with us and he fights for us. And he's given us spiritual armor to protect us. But we have to put the armor on. We have to utilize all the resources that God has made available to us in the gospel. And I hope that this series has provided you with some practical ways of understanding and applying those promises into your life. Will you stand with me as I pray for us? God, we thank you that you have given us your words, and you tell us that these aren't just words on a page, that they are living and active, and they are made that way through your Spirit. God, we pray that when things in our life happen, when spiritual attacks come, whatever way they may come, through doubts, through insecurities, through questions, through lies, through temptations, God, we pray that we would be a people who are so immersed in the words of God that your Spirit could recall these words and we could use them in the moment to fight back, to protect ourselves, to defend ourselves. God, I pray that over the next several weeks that we as a church, as we commit to be in your word together, I pray that these words would come alive in our lives. I pray that this would be a catalyst for us where we develop inside of us a hunger for and a need of having your word in our lives. So God, we pray that starting tomorrow that we would go through this together and you would use these in such a way to where that you would drive these truths of your words deep into our hearts so that you could bring them to our mind in the moments we need them. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.